Thank you for joining for another edition of Connecting Faith and Life. I really appreciate you joining me. You have a lot of things you can listen to. You can watch on YouTube. A lot of information out there, and you chose to listen and watch me. So thank you for that. It really doesn't get lost on me that people take time to listen to this. I mean, it blows my mind sometimes. Even looking at our app, our downloads, almost 2,000 people have downloaded our app, which blows my mind. And even when I go to schools and speak, the fact that all these little kids, whether it's at elementary school or high school, are lining up to come into the gym or the cafeteria to hear me speak, the school day ends or is interrupted because I'm in town, man, that blows my mind. So thank you so much for joining me. In this episode, as I mentioned in the opening, I want to talk about, what does it really mean to connect faith and life? God is here in Winter Retreat. So let's talk about this idea. What does it mean to connect faith and life? Our whole ministry is based on the idea of connecting faith and life. And in my mind, that means to live the way that your faith is influencing your life. They're connected. They're not disconnected. I grew up in church my whole life. This is the earliest I can remember going to church, whether I was an usher in usher board, I played the drums in church, I sung in the choir. My grandfather was a pastor at church. I was always at church, but my heart wasn't always at church. I was in the pew, so to speak, in the pews, because we didn't have chairs back then. We had these long benches, right? I was in the pew, but my heart wasn't there. I lived a very compartmentalized life. I lived one way at church, one way at home, and one way at school. I was kind of had a three personality, so to speak. And a lot of us live those disconnected lives. And for me, what does it mean to connect faith and life is this, that I'm living out my faith in every area of my life. So my faith actually informs my life, not my life informing my faith, so to speak. And I think when you get to know God and grow in your faith, then you understand that we need to be practicing the presence of God. David said, in your presence there's fullness of joy, and at your right hand there's pleasures evermore. The fact that in his presence, and the truth is, I'm always in God's presence. My faith is my mindset. My mindset is my faith. I can't go anywhere that God isn't. As a matter of fact, that's when we talk about this idea of connecting faith and life is connected to the fact that God is actually here, that God is here. God is everywhere you go, that we are always in the presence of God. I know in church we sing, Jesus, you're welcome here. Holy Spirit, come here. I know what we're trying to express is that we want to sense the presence, but God is always with us. And we need to change our minds and our hearts to understand that God is with you. God is with me everywhere I go. So for me, connecting faith and life is that my faith informs everything I do. My walk with God informs everything I do. The way I eat my food with Thanksgiving, the way I drive my car, which I struggle with. Everything that I'm with God. Now, I remember asking this question to a student at a winter retreat one time, that what if you actually could sense Jesus with you physically, his presence, like you would see Jesus with you, would the way you live your life change? If you could actually physically see Jesus walking with you in the kitchen, walking with you to sit down and watch television, watching you when you're on your phone, would your life change? That's a great question, because that's what it means to connect faith and life. Am I willing to do the things I'm doing with Jesus, with God, with the Holy Spirit? Because the Bible says he's with us everywhere we go. The presence of God is with us as a child of God. Not only is he with us, he's in us. The Bible says the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of us to lead us and guide us in all truth. Read John chapter 14 through 16 to learn more about the Holy Spirit's role in our lives. But he lives in us. The indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit is always there. We've been sealed with the Holy Spirit the day of promise. He's always with us. And that means that God is with us. God, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Jesus said he'll always be with us everywhere we go. God is omnipresent. All three members of the Trinity are omnipresent. And I'm getting deeper into all that stuff. But earnest understanding that everywhere we go, God is. So for me to connect faith to life means that I understand God is always with me. And that leads me to this idea of winter retreat. Recently, I did a winter retreat for VC family. Shout out to VC students, Valley Christian Church I go to. And I had a great time. And in that retreat, we talked about three things. Number one, where did I come from? Number two, where am I going? Why am I here? Number three, where am I going? So three questions. Where did I come from? Why am I here? Where am I going? Those three questions speak of where did I come from? Origin. Why am I here? Purpose. Where am I going? Destiny. And I think those three huge questions are a question that every human being asks in some form in their lives. Where'd I come from? Even little kids, where'd I come from? You came from your mom. Where'd I come from, mom? Who was their mom? Who was their dad? It goes on and on. And to understand that we're created by God and for God, that God is eternal. And the kids ask the question, well, who made God? The Bible says God has always been in existence. Psalm 90, verse 2, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. God has always been there, and that blows my mind, all right? And so I just went to retreat. Those are our three questions, and I kind of really try to focus on really elevating our view of God. Quoting A.W. Tozer, what comes to our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us, right? I think that's true. What comes to my mind when I think about God, if I have a little small God, or I have a big God, I have no existing God, that informs my life. And I want to connect faith and life and understanding who God is, who God has revealed himself to be through his word, through his son, and through his creation. I can see God. I know there's a God. There's no way you can try to say that all of this is here and it came from nothing. Even this microphone right here, if I told you nothing made this, you'd think I'm crazy. Everything in our world screams it was made by something. But then we say we were an accident, we came from nothing. It doesn't compute. There is a God who made us for a purpose. God is there. And now we need to figure out who this God is, because that informs every area, every facet of my entire being when I think about connecting my faith and my life. So we're talking about this that weekend. And I use a series that I used a long time ago called Characters of God. And maybe I'll make a video about that in the future, a teaching on that. But basically, the idea of a caricature is this image. Let me read what a definition of character is. And maybe you've seen them before, where people make these drawings of people and they exaggerate some things about the person. So a caricature is a description or a picture of a person using exaggerations of some characteristics and oversimplifying of others. So I showed them some pictures. Maybe I'll put them on the screen. Showed them a picture of Adam Sandler, who had really big ears or a really big chin. Showed a picture of The Rock, who had extra big muscles and a big head and a little bitty waist and a very, very small bottom of his, you know, lower torso. Showed a picture of Barack Obama with really big ears. Showed a picture of Donald Trump with big jaw and really small body, big head, right? And so just showed them these different images, right, of all these caricatures. And the truth is, many of us have a caricature of God, that we see God in distorted views. We oversimplify some things and we exaggerate other things about God. So in other words, we make, oh, God is all heart. God is all love. God would never want people to God would never send people to hell. Because God is all love. God is love. And because God is love, God is okay with me loving anybody the way I want to love people, right? So we look at God in a distorted view of love. Then we may look at God as, oh, he's just a mean man in the sky who wants to step on me. We have the overview of God's wrath. He's just waiting to pounce on everybody like a cat. Or worse, we think God is blind, that God does not see. God does not see what we're doing. We can duck and dive, slip and slide. We can get around and sneak around. Understanding whatever I do, God sees me. So we have these distorted views of God. And I think our responsibility as believers, as followers of God, to get to know who God says he is, how has God revealed himself, and take that image of that truth of God and live according to that. So to me, connecting faith and life means that I understand the best I can. I'm seeking God. I'm knowing God, but I'm living for that God. I'm living to please that God. I'm living understanding the presence of God. And so part of our weekend, we wanted to talk about the attributes of God. You know, what has God said about himself? What are his attributes? Now, I believe the words attributes are not the same as characteristics. So characteristics can change. You know, I can say I'm tall, dark, or I can say that I have a goatee, but if I cut it off, that characteristic of changing me. I think A.W. Tozer defines attributes of God, something that's true about God. Like, it's something that God's revealed about himself that's true. And it's not, God doesn't have parts, so God is not part this or part that. God is whole. He's a unity. And all these things are true about God, which blows my mind. I have a chart here on my computer that shows all these attributes of God, and there's tons of them that we see from the scripture, that God is omnipresent. That means he's everywhere present. God is sovereign. God is wise. God is infinite. God is omnipotent. He has all power. God is independent of his creation. God is omniscient. He knows all things. God is faithful. He will always keep his promises. God is immutable. He never changes. I mean, all these attributes, when I look at them, it blows my mind to understand this God. I'm really struggling with the idea, not struggling, but kind of juggling or trying to understand God's love. And I'm going to do a podcast about that later, that I struggle with. Does God love me, his child, the same way he loves the person who hasn't trusted Christ as their Savior? I'm his child. There's a difference, and I'm going to talk about that later. But the idea that all these attributes are true about God. And so we've been looking at those attributes this weekend. And then I said this statement, and I was so grateful some kids came to me and corrected me. They came and said, "Mr. Brown, you're wrong about that." But this is the statement I said. I said, "Did you know that God can't go anywhere?" And they were looking at me like, "What? That God can't go anywhere?" And when I heard the statement, I thought about it. That is true. God can't go anywhere. The scriptures talk about the fact that God is omnipresent. Therefore, where can God go? And where can we go to escape God? God does not travel. God does not need a bus pass or a car or a spaceship or an airplane to go anywhere. God is everywhere present. And I had a question from a kid from that weekend. He said, "I'm trying to understand what that means." He said something to the effect of, "Does that mean God, what he imagines, God being this big, fat, you know, person that can't go anywhere?" And he said, "I know that's probably not the right vision, but he's trying to visualize what that looks like." And I don't know, because the Bible says God does not have a body. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. God does not have a physical body. Jesus had a physical body. He came, he imputed himself or put himself into a body, but God the Father does not have a physical body. So God is everywhere present. He's greater than his creation. God does not fit in a thing. Even when they wanted to build a temple for God, God said, "Where's the temple you'll build for me? I don't fit in the temple." God does not fit into anything. God is everywhere present. And again, I think for me, the attributes of God blow my mind because they're so much bigger than I am. Like, I can't even compute. And that's a good thing, because like I always say to the kids, if I knew everything about God, then I would be God. And I don't think I would make a good God, because I wouldn't be as patient as God. I wouldn't be as loving as God. God is love. What does that mean that God is love? It blows my mind. And so the idea that God is here, or in a sense that God can't go anywhere, is mind-blowing. And so the kids came to me, like they came to correct me after our evening session, and I love the fact these boys came in. We're talking about five or six boys who came and talked. I said, "Well, what'd you get from it? What'd you get from our message today?" And one of them said, "Mr. Brown, well, you were wrong when you said God can't go anywhere, because you just said God can't do something." And I was like, first of all, thank you for thinking. I don't want to be one of those teachers that just opens your head, pours information in, and you just close your head and say, "Okay, believe it because I said so." Because that has led to a lot of people walking away from the faith because they were just told to believe something and never given the permission to think. God has given us the mind to process things, to think about things. And I think we need to give kids permission to question. "Wait a minute, what do you mean by that? Let's explain that." And not to say, "Well, you just got to believe by faith." No, our faith isn't blind. Our faith is based on truth. It's based on what God has said. It's based on reality. It's not just based on, "Okay, you believe it because I said it." No, let's search these things out. Matter of fact, Paul commended the Bereans because they were people who searched these things out to see if they were so. It wasn't just, "Hey, you believe it." They searched the scriptures to make sure it made sense. So I was so grateful this kid came up to me and said, "You were wrong. Because you said God can't go anywhere." And I understand where he's coming from, because he said, "We've taught so long, God, there's nothing God can't do." Like even the song, "My God is so great, so strong and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do." Now, I do believe God can do all the things that he wills to do. I think there's a difference. God can do anything that he wills to do. Anything that God wants to do, he can do. Now, the old question from a long time ago, can God make a rock too big he can't lift it? The answer is no. Now, does that mean there's a limit on God, that God is not all-powerful? Well, God can't make anything greater than himself, because then he would cease to be God. And would God ever will to be less than God? So those kind of questions, it's not a "I got you" question. It's like, no, God can do anything he wills to do. God can even do the impossible, even the incarnation of Jesus, the fact that he was born by a virgin. It was called the Immaculate Conception, the fact that Mary had never been with a man, and yet she was pregnant. That's impossible. And even the Bible says what's impossible to man is possible to God. But God can do anything that he wills to do. God can't make a rock too big he can't lift it, because he would cease to be God, and God does not will to do that. Again, mind-blowing, right? So God, there's several things God, and even in the Bible, I think God is bound by his own word. God said these things, therefore God won't do them. God can't lie. God can't deceive. There's so many things in the Bible that says God can't do. And it's not because he has limits that we put on him, but there's limits he put on himself, in a sense. Because, and again, it blows my mind to even be able to contemplate and think about this God. Because even from the beginning, in the beginning, God, that there's no origin for God. God is the first uncaused cause, blows my mind. that everything in my life, everything that I see has a cause but God. But it also leaves me in a place of reverence and awe because I don't fully understand God. And so we talked about this idea that God cannot go anywhere because God is everywhere present. So let's look at some Bible verse really quick to look at that. One of my favorite is so many verses that speaks about God, his attributes and God being everywhere present. But one of them is Psalm 139. And even just reading it, you'll see several attributes of God just pop out on the screen about the fact that God is everywhere present. And again, going back to our first conversation about connecting faith and life, that helps me when I understand God is everywhere present. So if I'm driving down the street and I see a car accident, guess what? God is with me. I can pray. And I remember this. I'm going to give a shout out to Tim Hatch. Tim Hatch, years ago, we were driving in a snowstorm. We're headed somewhere and we're talking about some situation we're dealing with and it was stressful. He said, hey, well, let's pray right now because God is with us. So he's driving. I'm in the passenger seat. He said, you know, let's pray about it. So he began to pray. I closed my eyes and I thought, wait a minute. He got his eyes closed. The fact that God, and I just love that statement. We're talking about this thing and God is with us. Let's talk to God about it. God is right here. He hears our conversations. He knows our hearts. He knows what's going on. Let's just seek God right now. And I thought, man, I never forgot that because God is here. God is here. God is with us. God knows. He sees. He cares. And I think to elevate, I think the A.W. Tozer said something like this in his book, The Knowledge of the Holy, and I would recommend that book. It is one of those thin books. It's really thin, but it's deep. Like I find myself highlighting so many there in the whole page, right? It was so deep. But he talked about the greatest need of the church today, and this was back in his day and still is in our day, is to elevate and purify our thoughts of God. So it's once again worthy of him and of us. So we need to elevate, to magnify our view of God. And I think it comes from what the Bible says about God. And even just looking at creation, I kind of joke with my kids all the time in church and Sunday school. I'll be like, you know, we know there's a God because there's no way you can look at all of this and think there's no God. And we're going to read Psalm 139, which says, we're fearfully and wonderfully made, that God is amazing. And so let's read that real quick. Psalm 139, and just talking about, and we'll see how God is omnipresent. Verse 1, Psalm 139, verse 1. Oh God, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You hem me in, behind, and before, and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain it. Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me up. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you. You formed me in the inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven into the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. He goes on to talk more and more, but you see how it talks about the fact that God is everywhere present. He knows all things. This passage talks about God's omniscient, his omnipotent, his omnipresence, his sovereignty. We see that God is all these things. And so to end this podcast, I just want to say this, that our whole ministry is focused on helping people connect faith and life. So I want our things to be very practical. And for me, what does that look like to connect faith and life is understanding God is with me everywhere I go. That when I think I'm all by myself, number one, I'm never by myself because God is always with me. And so those times I feel lonely, guess what? Even with human loneliness being a real thing that people struggle with, guess what? As a child of God, I'm never alone. I'm with God. That's not to say that we don't need people, that God doesn't use people in our lives. But the fact that I can never be alone, that's reassuring. When I'm feeling in the deepest, darkest times of my life, God is there. Will I be confused about things? Yes. Recently, there's some young kids who died in one kid died from our church. He was in my Sunday school class, and I'll talk more about that in a future podcast. And the despair and the anger, the frustration. And I want to tell these kids, listen, it's okay to tell God about these things. It's okay to tell God, I'm angry about this. I'm mad, God. God knows anyway. He knows your heart. And I think these things happen and we feel like we're all alone, but we're never alone. And to know that we can turn to God in those moments. And you say, well, God could have stopped it. Yes, he could have, but he chose not to. What does that mean about God? And I think we have to trust God in the good and the bad, the good and doesn't seem so well for us because we don't deserve anything from God. And everything is a gift from God, even the life that we have. And when it's taken from us, as a child of God, I get to be with God. And I'm not going to talk about this in a very disconnected way because if it was my son, how would I feel? What would I be sensing if it was my daughter who died at a young age? Yes, there will be pain. There will be frustration. There will be all those things. But at the end of the day, I still need to see God because God is the source of all things. God gave my children to me as a gift. They're on loan from me. And one of the things I when I think about connecting faith and life is the idea of holding everything with open palms. Like instead of holding on things, like gripping them like this, but holding everything with open palms, open hands to say, God, you give, you take away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's exactly what Job said when he lost his family, lost everything. He had to come to the point where God, I have to seek you. You give, you take away, I'm still going to bless your name. And so I think one of the beginning parts of connecting faith and life is understanding God is here, that God is with us everywhere. And that can give me a sense of rest, relaxation, but also awareness that I need to live in a way that honors God. Like I asked you earlier, I asked those students, if Jesus was physically present with you and you could see Jesus with you everywhere you go, would your life be different? If the answer is yes, well, I think for all of us it would be yes, right? And we need to practice that presence because he is with us. So anyway, those are my thoughts for this episode of Connecting Faith and Life. Thank you for joining me again. If you want more information about our ministry, please visit proclaimministry.com, download our app, and you can also watch us on YouTube. You can listen to us in Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen to your podcasts. And again, thank you for joining me. And I want to end with a word of prayer. You don't pray at the end, but I want to pray for us as we seek to live for God by connecting faith and life. And what that means is, I believe, living with and practicing the presence of God. Dear God, thank you for this opportunity to make this podcast and for the people that are listening or watching this podcast that we know you're with us and we can be assured that you know our hearts, that you know all things and you're always present with us. And there's a lot of troubles in this world, a lot of pain and suffering. And we thank you for the promise that we have in you, that through Jesus Christ, we have eternal life. And that life doesn't start once we die. It started already. We get to experience your presence and know you, the true God. And I thank you for that. And help us to practice the presence of God, that you're with us everywhere we go, that you are here, God. You can't go anywhere. Matter of fact, you can't learn anything because you know all things. Help us to rely, to seek, and to live for you by connecting faith and life. In Jesus' name, amen.